All right, welcome back. Good morning again. Okay, we'll try one more time. Good morning. Thank you. All right, there's people here. All right, a few things before we jump into this next topic. So, one, I want to thank Fall Tech Industries for the break that we just had, so thank you very much for that sponsorship. Ensure that we've got coffee and drinks readily available. I know we mentioned the elevator situation, so I have a little bit of an update here as we work to, from this session, make it all the way to the top floor for our luncheon after this. So we are going to use the service elevator. I do not know how many people are able to fit into it, but so we'll probably take several trips. But once we go outside of here, we'll just kind of gather in the kind of by the registration desk. There'll be a few folks be able to guide us to where to go, and that way we can efficiently get upstairs for our luncheon. Still not sure of when the elevators fully will be resolved. We'll see if we use that to come down. But just know after this, we will kind of move together to ensure that we can make it safely and as swiftly as we can to enjoy our luncheon after this. With that, I'm going to go ahead and get us started to our next topic here. So our next presenter, his name is Luke Custer. So he's actually from Scotts Miracle-Gro, so it's exciting for me to have a colleague here to present to you all today. So he's a member of our Consumer Insights and Strategy team, focusing on market research, category metrics, advanced analytics, and consumer trends that impact the lawn and garden space. His focus is on how consumer perceptions and behaviors impact the category in unique ways and how to drive a strategic growth through data and insights. So that's what his job is about. I am excited that he's able to be here today to share with all of you kind of a little bit of what Scotts Miracle-Gro has learned about our consumers, about the gardening space, and allowing us to really all work together to, again, the goal is grow this industry and be successful doing it together. All right, so a little bit about this topic, right? So consumer insights and gardening trends. I think we all know, right, over the last, 18 months, there's been significant changes and pivots with the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's really had an impact on America's lives and a big emphasis on gardening. I think we saw huge lifts in 2020, right? Is this going to continue, right? What did consumers do differently? What have they learned? Today, we're going to really understand what is happening with consumer trends, an update on millennials, maybe even some other groups as well, and a look at that big picture marketplace for the lawn and garden industry. With that, please give a warm welcome to Luke Custer.
Thanks, Kimberly. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is the first time that I've been to MSC and also first time Memphis. So I never thought so many humans would be excited to see ducks jumping out of a fountain, but we all gathered around and I managed to see yesterday some. So it was pretty cool. Like Kimberly said, I'll kind of breeze through this. You gave a good intro. But really what my job is, or what my goal with my job is to generate and share relevant insights that are going to drive strategy and action with companies or with the category. And what I have here is what I would consider a meta-analysis of a lot of the research that we've done, custom research, syndicated research, trends that my team has seen over the last couple years. Some of it is kind of longer, more broad trends that we see affecting the category slowly. Some of these trends also are kind of more recent. COVID is the big one. So in preparing for this, the first question I asked was, what are the most important factors influencing today's consumer that I need to understand? And so here was the list that I came up with. COVID-19 obviously is going to be the biggest one. It's also something that threads its way through the other four trends here, or the other four concepts here. Stress, wellness, and self-care is another one that really prior to COVID was already becoming a bigger trend. COVID really just put it in the forefront. And so we'll talk about how that affects consumers and what that means for the category. Consumers approaching the category with stress, looking to relieve their stress, looking for a way to maybe escape that kind of day-to-day busyness. There's also population and movement, and this one is sort of a long, slow baseline, but it's also changed pretty dramatically in the last couple of years, especially with remote working. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. The evolution of the home, also kind of tying that thread of COVID, but really even prior to COVID, millennials were changing the concept of what the home means, what the home looks like, and where the home is within the country. Millennials are shifting between rural and urban to rural, and we'll get into that. And then finally, millennials. So we'll talk a little bit about that generation as well. So the first trend, obviously, we're going to have to start with COVID. So we all know about it. We all know how it's affected our category. Some of the first data that we saw was from Numerator. Numerator is a receipt-based panel, and they look at basically consumers uploading receipts at different retailers. Here we have the home improvement category highlighted on the right. We saw that indexing year over year, 2021, kind of early season, had a strong start for home improvement. But then kind of as the society opened up, as people started leaving the house a little bit more, we saw that this was starting to kind of drop off a little bit, kind of April, May. And so we see this relationship, and there's other data that we've also looked at where we see this relationship between mobility and participation in the category. And so with COVID, sort of the confusion that's resulted in the Delta variant and sort of the rise in COVID again, we're seeing a little bit of this kind of mixture of people leaving the house, maybe participating in the category less, and other folks that are actually participating more or the same, and they're sticking around the house, they're making these habits last longer than COVID has. And so, like I said, after a long stretch of decline, COVID-19 cases have been ticking up again. So we've seen that really kind of early to middle of the summer. Most U.S. states are reporting new COVID-19 cases each day. And what's kind of the big news headline with that is the Delta variant. So everybody here, I'm sure, has heard the Delta variant. It now makes up about 8 in 10 cases of COVID are the Delta variant now. It's a more contagious variant. And so that presents some challenges as well. So as far as the vaccination rate goes, what is the latest? As of earlier this month, at the beginning of this month, the Mayo Clinic reported 62%, about 6 in 10 consumers, are at least partially vaccinated against COVID. And so what does that mean as far as the Delta variant goes and vaccination rates and people leaving the house? Well, the challenge here is that the Delta variant is more contagious than the original variant. And so one of the challenges with this is that in order to increase herd immunity, basically more folks have to get vaccinated. So with the original strain, where we had about a 67% target, we've now had to shift that closer to an 83% target for herd immunity. And so that's become challenging. And as more contagious variants come out, we're going to see this herd immunity target keep increasing. So this whole resurgence has created confusion. You see, the category was doing really well in 2020. In 2021, early season, we were seeing a lot of over-indexing versus the prior year, actually further gains. And then as the season went on, people started leaving the house a little bit more, and you saw some of these habits stick around. But now there's a little bit of a re-uptick in terms of worrying, in terms of confusion from consumers. What's safe? What's the right thing to do? And a fair portion of the population was starting to advocate for leading normal lives. So this is data Gallup has been putting out last couple, actually since early 2020. But each month they're asking consumers, you know, what's the right thing to do? What's the best thing to do right now for healthy individuals? Is it stay at home or is it to lead normal lives? And just as prior to the Delta variant coming out, we were starting to see this flip of majority opinion toward leading normal lives. And now we're starting to see that sort of back in flux between staying at home and going out and leading normal lives. And so again, there's this confusion among consumers around, you know, what is the right thing to do. To add to that, the CDC put out anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. So again, there's confusion around reports and kind of what consumers should be doing. But despite all of this confusion around Delta, The good news is the economy is still growing. We're still seeing growth within our category, and we're still seeing growth in the economy at large. The last four quarters, GDP has been increasing each quarter. One challenge that is sort of worked itself into this as well, mostly because of supply issues, is inflation. And we're seeing inflation actually at record highs since 1990 was the last time that we've seen inflation at this rate of about 5.4%. So in 2022, what we're expecting to see is that inflation is going to decline a little bit. It's going to ease a little bit to 3%, but that's still higher than the last couple of years prior to COVID. 2016 to 2019 was around 2%. So we're still going to see inflation increase minimally, but it is still going to be higher than it was in 2016 through 2019. So this is just another challenge. Between Delta and price inflation, consumers have this uneasiness growing, and that's where you're seeing the consumer confidence reports out, where consumer confidence has dropped a little bit, but it's not as low as it was some rates in 2020. So how do people think about gardening, and kind of how does gardening fit into this? Well, with gardening, or those that are gardening, only 40% have returned to normal levels so far. Overall, net and net, consumers are saying they're actually going to be gardening more. With this confusion, sort of with this perpetuation of staying at home and gardening, other hobbies that they've picked up along with COVID, consumers realize they enjoy gardening. They want to keep gardening. And all the research that we've seen so far is indicating that net and net, we're actually going to have more gardeners continuing to garden than prior to COVID. So far I've been kind of doom and gloom about COVID and kind of the negative implications of it, but there's positive impacts that we've seen, both big and small, as far as the trends related to COVID go. One of them is victory gardens, so something that's kind of a concept in both the world wars around food shortages. Well, victory gardens have kind of taken a new meaning for folks. It's about growing vegetables on your own because you have the time now. Time is less of a barrier. Staying at home order has actually forced people to look at the homes around, or the space around their homes, and decide, what activities have I not been able to do because I haven't had the time? And gardening has been one of those. There's also been this interesting trend that's a little bit smaller. It's only 35% of consumers, but there are consumers that are shopping at smaller footprint stores. So smaller local nurseries, alternative channels, also DTC is another one, or online shopping. But the fact is consumers are looking to smaller, more local shops to help support through a tough time. And so you're seeing a little bit of a divergence of not just the big retailers, but some of the other alternative channels. Some of the smaller retailers are also being shopped at a little bit more frequently than in the past. So buying patterns are changing. Both online, BOPIS have both been accelerating for lawn and garden, and those trends don't look like they're going to be changing and going into 2022. So as far as what does all this mean? So resurgence in cases resulting from the Delta variant have created some confusion, but the habits within lawn and garden are here to stay. There's a good number of consumers that are still thinking, you know what, I like gardening, I got into it because I had the time, but I'm going to keep doing it in the years to follow. So despite Delta and the increased inflation, the economy is still growing, and the category is still growing. So how does this fit in with stress, wellness, and self-care? Like I said, this trend is a little bit broader than just COVID itself, but COVID has really made this brought to the forefront. In 2017, we polled folks with Kantar, and Americans broadly have a preference for being busy, we saw. 73% said, I'd rather be too busy than not busy enough. And yet, when we also asked them, well, what are the barriers to maintaining or improving your health? The most common response was, I don't have enough time. And so there's this conflict here of wanting to be busy, keeping themselves busy, but also not having enough time to do the things that they need to do to maintain their own health and their own wellness. Demand for behavioral health services has increased substantially in the last couple of years. It's varied in different parts of the country, but we're seeing it spike up especially because of COVID. There's newly added stress, and it's coming from all different kinds of places. 8 in 10 folks say that the coronavirus pandemic is a significant source of stress in their life. But there's a lot of other stressors, too, that folks are dealing with. And what's one way that they can deal with it? Well, they can change their lifestyle. They can change the activities that they're doing. They can change their environment. The point here is that each consumer looks at this differently and looks at maybe how they could become more mindful, how they can reduce their stress in different ways. But most folks, 75%, believe that self-care provides stress relief. We've seen this trend through indoor plants and indoor gardening. Consumers have looked to plants for mindfulness. And they're moving the concept of plants beyond just aesthetics. It's something to foster wellness. It's something to be able to put your mind towards something that's slower, that's something that is sort of an escape from what they're dealing with currently. So what does this mean? What does this mean for us? So gardening naturally is a conduit for wellness, both physical and emotional. And we need to look at that and look at ourselves in our category and decide, you know, how do we communicate that? How do we communicate those benefits to consumers in a way that they can see, hey, this is something that's a lifelong habit, something that's a lifestyle that I can have in my house and a hobby that I can gravitate towards to be able to find that relief. So growing naturally fits in with this trend of wellness. So population and movement. So this trend, kind of, there's two factors here. There's sort of this long, slow climb where suburban populations have been on a long growth cycle. And you're seeing this affect rural as well. So urban, suburban population is increasing, but rural population is actually staying the same. So the rural populations really haven't changed in their size. They've just changed in terms of their proportion of the overall market over the last 100 years. And this is good for us. Those that are in suburban populations in more space are gardening more. They have more space to garden. Now more than 52% of the total U.S. is suburban, more than half. And COVID has accelerated this as well. So we looked at a one-to-one ratio of people moving out, people moving in to moving out pre-COVID. And when we looked at those same numbers after COVID, we actually saw that the ratio was decreasing, that more people were moving away from urban areas. Millennials especially have an appetite for the rural. So there is a trend within millennials that we are seeing where millennials are shifting more toward more space, having more room for activities, more room to grow a family. That this earlier trend of moving in toward the city has now been met with this sort of counter trend, moving out more toward rural and suburban even. Millennials like that idea of having more space, having more of a room to raise your family, but also have access to the bigger cities. So here's a quote from Tractor Supply CEO. He says, "We are seeing a revitalization of rural, led by millennials. We saw a 4-point sales penetration change last quarter with the millennial cohort." So it's being seen at both the retailer level and as well as the total category level. So that's as far as rural versus suburban versus urban. You know, that's kind of the changes that we're seeing so far. But where in the U.S. are consumers moving to? 14% of the U.S. population moves each year. Now, while most of that is local, we are seeing that there is some state-to-state shifts that have been occurring, especially over the last couple years. Millennials especially are moving toward the South and toward the West. So the key states are the top states that see the most growth, Texas being number one, Washington number two, and Colorado number three. Most of these states, again, South, Southwest, and a lot of the cities that folks are moving towards, especially millennials, are offering that balance of the city, the connection to the city and the culture, but also a little bit more space in some of those sprawling suburban areas, which are growing. What's interesting, I saw this stat around lawn size changing from state to state. So one thing to consider, too, is that lawn size is not necessarily the same as you're looking across states. And so this is something to consider with soil, with mulch, and with consumers' ability to be able to garden. What we're seeing is that those that are in the South and the Southwest, many of these states are going to have larger lawn sizes, which means more area to grow. And so again, what does all this mean for us in terms of population and movement? The gradual increase in suburban living bodes well for landscaping. There's more room to grow. And the earlier millennial surge into the cities has been met with a counter surge back out toward more sprawling areas, the suburban and the rural. So now we'll talk about the evolution of home. So the concept of home has changed over the last couple of years, and millennials are in part leading that change. The role in general in America of the home reflects its culture. So I like this quote here from the National Association of Home Builders. Home ownership remains the cornerstone of the American dream. As our living spaces this year turned into offices, schools, and playgrounds, a place to call home is important now more than ever. 90% of consumers surveyed said owning a home is a sign of success and accomplishment. My home is a reflection of who I am, 87% said. And so what we're seeing here is consumers are spending more time at home, and those that are homeowners are spending more time changing the spaces around them. There's a couple different variations that we've seen this take place. There's outdoors, an extension of the indoors, where you have, you know, sort of outdoor decor, furniture being placed outside, where you can kind of create this indoor space, but outdoors. You also have naturally native. We see a sort of smaller population that is looking more towards natural trends. And how do you grow pollinator gardens or other kinds of gardens that sort of inhibit the, you know, sort of that synthetic feel. You also have social front yards. So my neighborhood has these. We don't have an HOA. So we do have these kind of sprawling social fronts as well, and that's a smaller trend, but that's also another face of consumers having more time in and around their homes. A lot of this is being driven by remote work. The desire for more space and low interest rates have made real estate the hottest commodity in 2021. So we've seen the sales rate of homes increasing, new home builds increasing, and even rent prices have been pressured to increase over the last 2 years especially. So instead of buying new, many are choosing to upgrade. Because house pricing has increased so much, you're seeing also an increase in renovations, an increase in people who are willing to just stay at home and maybe make their home space a little bit better, whether it's them remote working or them looking to sell. As far as projects go, the highest percentage of projects for 2021 for planned home renovations was yard and landscape. 50% of projects will be DIY. Since the beginning of the pandemic, home renovation searches were at their highest point in May of this past year. So millennials especially are flocking toward fixer-uppers because, again, with these higher home prices, you're seeing that many can't afford to buy a new home in the shape that it's in. Many are buying homes that need some fixing up, and so they're willing to get their hands dirty. They're willing to get in there and start to renovate and change and upgrade a house that may cost less than some of the other more expensive houses in the market. 57% of millennials bought a home during the pandemic that needs repairs, more than half. 34% of millennials plan to do their own home repairs. Again, this sense of DIY among millennials, this sense of confidence that I can do this, I can repair and fix up the home that I'm currently living in. And 69% of millennials plan to spend over $25,000 in renovations over the period of their house. The average spend on these is still significant. For the yard, about 10%, $10,000 of their overall renovation plans is going to be dedicated to that space around the house. So what does this mean for all of us? So working, playing, remodeling, all in the same shared space. The concept of the home has changed dramatically. And with a lot more people living in remote work stations within their house and being around their house a little bit more, you're going to see consumers being a little bit more thoughtful and cognizant of the space around them and how they may be able to improve it. So the changing home landscape is good for us. It gives us the opportunity to show consumers that you can beautify the space around you. This is something that you can do, and this is something that you can create into a lifestyle. So millennials. I have this joke in here. I thought, who else should we target? We're looking constantly for new ways to be able to engage with millennials, and now Gen Z is becoming more of a subject. But there's still a lot to be thought about with millennials. There's still a lot of millennials who still even haven't even entered home ownership. And so you see millennials ages 25 to 40 years old are making up 24% of the population. It's a sizable chunk. And millennials in particular are slightly more engaged in lawn and garden than older generations. So you're seeing this engagement, this interest, but also this participation in the past 12 months, more so with millennials than any generation before them. Some challenges with millennials, some nuances that we've also seen that are interesting. Millennials want fewer kids, and the birth rate in the U.S. has been at the lowest it's been since they began recording it in the early 1800s. And so this is interesting. You know, you have millennials that have more time on their hands and maybe more money to spend, more income. They do have more pets. Millennials have the most pets of any of the generations. But again, the need for outdoor space, the ability to be able to spend more on kind of the projects around you and have the time to be able to do that. And there are more millennials that are now moving into home ownership. So as millennials become of that age, the median age being 33 for new home ownership, you're seeing that more millennials are beginning to look like the older generations before them. So homeowners are significantly more likely to be buying lawn and garden versus renters. And as we see this large cohort of millennials move into home ownership, you're going to see in the next few years this increased participation by those homeowners being bolstered by millennials. Like I said, millennials are in the sweet spot right now to be buying their first home. So you still have the median age being 33 and the earliest millennials being 25, or the youngest millennials being 25. You still have 8 more years of millennials moving into that median home ownership age. So what does this mean for us? So millennials will continue to shape the housing market and therefore the category. They're interested in gardening, and we know that homeowners spend more in gardening than renters. And so as these millennials are moving into home ownership, you're going to see this increased participation. The demand in housing is also going to continue to shape this category. So not only are housing starts moving up, but you're also seeing renovation and upgrades within the existing homes. So finally, gardening of the future. A few other comments and a few other trends that we've seen also in gardening is around natural and organic. So we've seen that's been an increase since 2015, driven by, again, millennial homeowners looking for that more natural space or looking to move towards organics. And the future interest continues to grow. So as we've been surveying consumers, millennials, we do see that their interest in growing organic and making organic greater parts of their lives increasing more and more, especially over the last couple of years. People are adopting healthier lifestyles, and they're focusing on fitness as the pandemic continues. So we've seen a couple of these trends manifest in a few different ways. We've seen growing demand for immunity-boosting foods or even growing your own foods. Fitness, getting into fitness classes, being able to work out, making a space around your home that's conducive to that. And then sales of plant-based products also continue to rise and continue to rise into 2022. So many consumers have tried, and they've learned some new things. Chief among them, we found, is an appetite for cooking. So this also bodes well, and we also see this take the form of what types of plants, what types of growth millennials are getting into as far as hobbies go. So veggies, herbs, these types of raised beds is something that millennials have gravitated more towards than generations before them. And part of that is just due to cooking. Celebrating vegetables. So this was a part of a trend report that we saw. I'll just read this quote here around celebrating vegetables and just kind of this sense of why millennials are gravitating towards this type of trend. A number of forces are at work. Yes, health and wellness. Yes, environmental. But also learning curve. We got considerably more interested and generally better cooking in 2020 through 2021. With those new culinary skills come a more adventurous spirit in the vegetable aisle, and our ability to enjoy various plants. Now learned, it is a knowledge that won't go away. So again, gardening trends that we've really dug into in 2021, we see a lot more veggies, a lot more herbs, just this natural gravitation toward edibles. And that's really mainly being driven by millennials entering home ownership and having that space to be able to grow. The other trend here I already touched on a little bit is the interest in indoor plants. So it's expected to grow beyond 2021 as consumers are continuing to remote work, and remote work is becoming a long-term plan for a lot of homeowners. And so as you see people creating office space, creating spaces around them that they want to be able to live in, you're seeing plants show up in a lot of those areas. Here's my home office. I have plants growing too. Same thing. Basically, in 2020, I took this room and I renovated it and added some plants to it. And I'm seeing this with a lot of friends, a lot of coworkers as well. So, final takeaways. The trends say it's good to be in lawn and garden right now. The consumer is engaged. So we're seeing new housing starts increased in 2020, again, fueled by that larger portion of millennials that is now moving into the home ownership age. And also, millennials are interested in food gardening. They're interested in creating raised beds and being able to grow their own natural and organic food. There's also technology, and that's playing an increasing role. So we're seeing more DTC, more BOPIS, more e-com sales. These different platforms and this different technology making it easier for consumers to get the products they need has also increased participation, because millennials and younger consumers are using this technology to buy in other categories. They're beginning to gravitate toward categories that they hadn't previously thought of for technology. So very, very bright emerging trends. We talked about food and indoor gardening, growing your own food, growing natural and organic. We continue to see this growing into 2022 and beyond. Here's a chart we saw from NGA, the National Gardening Association. Estimates U.S. consumers spent more than $10 billion on gardening activities in 2021, and we expect that to continue. We have an infographic here on the newbie gardener. So one thing that's interesting about the newbie gardener that we've seen, and there's a couple other data sources, we've also seen trends pointing to males, younger males, getting into gardening for the first time. This new consumer doesn't look like the old consumer. And this new consumer is coming in for different reasons. And they're coming in because, again, that barrier of time has now been reduced. And they're getting into a category that they previously didn't think that they could do or they would have the time to do. And so there's a bit of a confidence barrier that's also been crossed. Younger millennials that have the money, that are living sort of that urban, suburban, hybrid lifestyle, are now getting into growing. And I'll end with this. The consumers are setting on a $2.8 trillion more than in quarter one, 2021, than expected under normal conditions due to the pandemic. So we were looking at data from Deloitte that said, basically, under normal circumstances, we wouldn't have seen this kind of savings rate. We wouldn't have seen the amount of savings that people have had just by living at home, not going out to restaurants, not going out to bars. And so there is this pent-up savings. Consumers quite literally have money to spend. Thank you. And I'll take any questions if anyone has any. What's the estimate in time? Say it again. Yeah. It's hard to say COVID-related how things will change. I think what we are seeing is the habit forming that is going on among consumers right now, the new consumers that have joined. When we talk to them and we ask, you know, are you planning on continuing? Why are you planning on continuing? We heard that people actually enjoy this and find it easier than they thought they would. And so given that, and given this sort of this barrier of time has been broken, we see that there's no reason why they would not keep gardening, even as this normalization of society kind of going back out, having these other obligations creep back in, they're still gardening. And so even as I think the years go on and we see that there's this normalization of, you know, how to live in a post-COVID era, we still see that people are willing to participate and interested in participating beyond that. Yeah, part of it is just that... Oh, yeah, sorry. So she's asking just beyond interest in growing, just grocery bills going up, people having to cook now more in their own home, and seeing that they could save money by growing on their own versus actually having to go to the grocery and pay for these vegetables and herbs. That's the question. Yeah, I think there's two things there. I think one, people have just found an interest in cooking, and the types of folks that are getting into cooking, we're seeing also are more interested in natural, more interested in organic, and feel that they'd rather be growing their own food than having to buy it at the store. So it's not necessarily financial, but there is a piece of that too, that is you are seeing people saving money and realizing, hey, it's actually a lot cheaper, especially herbs, a lot cheaper if I just grow them on my own. If I'm going to keep doing this, if I'm going to keep going to the grocery and cooking on my own, I might as well be growing them. And so we'll see like windowsill planters, or even if there is a space outside for folks to be planting. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's an interest in the hobby, but there's also a portion of consumers that are thinking about costs over time. Yeah, well, with raised bed purchasing and the increases in edible gardening, you are seeing consumers that are willing to pay a higher price point for raised bed soil or potting soil, depending on what they're growing. I think what we have seen with COVID and a couple retailers moving away from promotions while still seeing that same volume, the same sales come through, is that consumers are willing to pay more, or at least they have so far. And I think between the major retailers, not promoting as much as they have in the past, and seeing that, hey, you still have the demand there, as well as I think, like you mentioned, edibles, other growables that have a higher price point soil associated with them, consumers are gravitating toward those categories and they are willing to pay for those more expensive bags. I think organics also is another example of that. I mean, consumers are willing to pay a premium, mostly related to veggies and herbs. Mostly the attitude around that we've seen is related to, you know, if I'm putting it into my body, I want to make sure that, you know, the soil that I use to grow this is going to be organic or natural. And again, they're willing to pay that higher price point. Mm-hmm. For 22, yeah, we've had a hard time with that. I think I'll repeat the question. Yeah, so as far as like what's an actual number that we can associate with growth for 2022, or can we pin 2022 growth in an actual number? And I think the answer is it's been challenging. It's been really tough. And even I would say the number that we would have had in June looks very different than with the Delta variant. And sort of this going back into 2020 mode that we've seen in a number of different categories. And so it's a little bit hard to pin that number. But I would say, and kind of what I was getting at in a couple different pieces throughout, is there's a lot of indicators. They're not hard numbers, but there's a lot of indicators and trends that we're seeing in sort of the sentiment around consumers that they are wanting to continue. Like I said, when we actually ask consumers, are you willing to spend more? Are you willing to spend less? About the same next year as you did this year in gardening? We see that net, people are willing to spend more overall. A good portion of them are willing to spend the same into 2022, but it's hard to put an actual number on it, just given that next month there could be a new variant. There could be something else that completely changes the game. Yeah, Bob. Yeah. There's a couple pieces to that. So that was the last number I landed on. That was an estimate from Deloitte, where we did see a historically high record of savings among folks. But I don't have any data on what they plan to do with that money. It could be longer term savings, could be shorter term. What we do see is in a couple different places that spending is occurring. Again, it's related to home improvement. It's related to renovations in the house. But they're continuing to save more just by, again, not going out to the movie theaters as much, not going out to restaurants. And so there is this continued savings that people have realized, hey, I don't have to live on as much as I thought I had to. I can save money, and I can put this money toward other hobbies, toward other areas of my home even that I want to make sure is, I'm spending more time there now. I want to make sure that it's something that I really enjoy. Yeah, to answer your question, in terms of the saving that's going to continue, I think you're going to have a large portion of consumers that are going to continue to be saving or finding out that these savings are something that they want to do. Now, the mix of sort of long-term versus short-term spend on that saving, it's kind of hard to say right now. I think as COVID plays out, we may see that some of the short-term spend continues, but then there's long-term savings that a portion of this is probably going to go to. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there. Yeah, I do have that data. I'm not sure if it's in there. But I would say with COVID and remote working, it has changed quite a bit. I'll get back to you on that number. I'll see if we can connect afterwards, because we do have that data. But part of it is just is COVID and millennials realizing, hey, I can work and live anywhere. Yeah, the number one city that saw the most sort of this ratio of inbound versus outbound folks moving in versus folks leaving the city was New York City. You saw the most consumers leaving there, and the three top cities for folks moving in were all three of them in Texas. So you do have this kind of gravitation toward more space, but there's a couple data points I don't have on the top of my head that I can share. Mm-hmm. And another deck I do. So we do see, because a portion of our business is Hawthorne, we do see cannabis record highs, no pun intended, but we do see that sales have gone up tremendously in 2020. 2021, all forms of cannabis increase as well. I don't know what portion of this you're saying in terms of just the growing themselves.
Well, I was thinking a lot of states have laws that you grow yourself, X number of plants, and then obviously grow lots of
Yeah, and we see, so he's just asking cannabis in terms of people growing more cannabis and getting into that at home and certain number of plants you're able to grow. I do know a good portion of, actually most consumers are, at least that we've spoken with, are actually growing more than even the numbers suggested. It's sort of this gray market that's very, very large. And it's hard to put a number on because it's hard to talk to consumers that are willing to share that kind of information. But we do know that it's pretty significant. And it's grown in 2020, and it's grown even more in 2021.
To say that we should give an applause for Luke? Was that not good? All right, I knew he threw a lot of numbers. I couldn't even keep up sometimes with those slides. Again, the content will be available for you. It will be accessible hopefully by the end of next week. Thank you so much for sharing all those insights. A lot to kind of dig into there for sure. So it's about 11:20. Again, I believe we are still planning to use the service elevators to ensure we can effectively get upstairs for our luncheon with our keynote speaker. So we're going to leave here, head out kind of towards registration space. We'll have some folks guiding us to those elevators so we can effectively get up there, and we will start lunch.